This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For if we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is life. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. So in my house, we have three kids, and one of our kids is now a toddler, that age between 1 and 2 years old. And one of the things that she has begun to develop in addition to walking and starting to say a few words is opinions of her own. That often she will travel around the house and find things that are interesting that she wants to play with. And sometimes these things that are interesting and she wants to play with belong to her older brothers. Now, very often her older brothers will get worried that if she plays with this thing that isn't really age appropriate, she might break it or damage it in some way. And a few times they have gone up to her when she begins playing with one of their toys and immediately snatches it out of her hands. Well, you know what happens next. Immediately, she begins crying and screaming and wants the toy back and begins to follow her older brother around, continuing to do so. A number of years ago, a friend of mine who had kids that were older than ours taught me a very helpful technique. They said, if you ever want to take a toy away from a toddler, before doing so, give them another toy. They will immediately take the new toy, lose interest in the toy that you want, and drop it on the floor. And we have taught this to our daughter's older brothers and has worked quite well. It's worked quite well because anytime they present a toy to her, immediately what she sees in her mind is a new thing. And to her, a new thing automatically must mean a better and more exciting thing. The truth of the matter is, this is not something that we grow out of as we get older, but something that our society continues to place before us. This idea that a new thing is a better thing. And all before us, we're constantly bombarded with different advertisements and messages about why this is the case. For example, a few times a month, I will get a mailer in my mailbox from the place that sold me one of our two cars. And always the mailer will be the same thing. In the mailer, they will demonstrate that for a payment no greater, sometimes even less than the payment we are paying now on our car, we could get a brand new version of it. A new, updated version for the same amount of money. Now, what they don't tell me in this letter, what they don't make abundantly clear, and what wouldn't be clear until we sign the paperwork, is that making this choice would ultimately cause me and my family to go further and further into debt. But the technique is there. The trap is there that your current car, as great as it is, isn't as great as it could be. That you could have a newer car. And by having a newer car, you will automatically have a better experience. You see, that's what our culture bases so much on. That if we had something a little bit newer, if we had something a little bit more expensive, if we had something a little bit bigger, then we will be happy. Then we will be content. You see, our culture, because it wants us to buy more and consume more, is constantly telling us that if we just had a little bit more of something, we would be happy and at peace. Our culture is basically trying to get us to focus not on what we currently have, but on what we could have. And the truth of the matter is, our scripture reading recognizes this. It recognizes that, like today, people back in the time that this scripture reading was written were often captivated by the idea of being rich and wealthy and powerful. But our scripture reading says something important. It says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now, what does this scripture reading say? Is this scripture reading say that by becoming rich, we automatically are plunged into destruction and ruin? That rich and wealthy people are people who have fallen into a trap? No, we have to read on. Our scripture reading continues by saying, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You see, people often misquote this scripture reading and say that money is the root of all kinds of evil. But what this scripture reading says is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You see, our scripture reading recognizes, as we should, that money is neither good or bad. Money is simply money. What causes us to fall into traps, what causes us to fall into ruin, is not money itself, but is the beliefs that we place around money. The beliefs both good and bad. The beliefs specifically that can be dangerous for our lives and for our souls. See, many people believe that money is not simply money, but money is the pathway to peace. That by having certain items, by having certain things, that ultimately they will arrive in a place of complete contentment. But our scripture reading also goes on to remind us something very important, that the things we have, we do not have them for very long. I remember when I was a kid and the first time I went to Florida to visit some family. And I remember going to the beach and I remember being fascinated with the idea that I could build a sandcastle. That I could build a sandcastle, and so I spent so much of that day creating and digging and pouring and building. So I had a beautiful and amazing sandcastle. And after working hours and hours and hours on the sandcastle, I stood back with a sense of pride, and I looked at it feeling grateful for my accomplishment. Well, at that time, it was getting late, and it was time to go back to the place we were staying and go to bed. Well, the next day, I went out ready to play with that sandcastle again, and much to my disappointment, my sandcastle was gone. I immediately asked my parents, where did my sandcastle go? What happened to it? And they explained to me that the sandcastle gets swept away. It got swept away because the tide came in. See, each and every day, the tide came in and swept away whatever was built on that beach, whatever was created on that beach. Our scripture reading is trying to teach us that our possessions, our things, ultimately will be swept away, ultimately will rust and destroy. See, if we buy a new car, eventually that new car becomes an old car. If we buy a new house, eventually that new house becomes an old house. You see, eventually new things become old things, and eventually all of our things become somebody else's things. The scripture reading has an important expression that it gives us today. It says, those who are rich in this present world. The scripture reading says, those who are rich are in this present world. You see, the scripture reading could have used the phrase, those who are rich. But instead, the scripture reading from 1 Timothy says, those who are rich in this present age. You see, the scripture points out something important, that those who are rich in this life are not rich in the next life. And those who are poor in this life are not poor in the next life. That ultimately, wealth is temporary. And again, wealth is neither good nor bad. It is simply a temporary thing. And what God wants us to understand and God wants us to believe is that our things are just things. You see, recently I watched on YouTube this new sort of movement of videos. You see, these videos were about college students recording themselves opening their acceptance letters to different colleges that they applied to. And they were either elated, they were jumping up and down, they were excited, they were screaming, they were hugging their parents, or believe it or not, some were filled with tears and some were bawling. Now, I went to college and I remember college, and college was a great experience. But if I could tell those young people something, I would tell them that college is just college. That for some people it has utility, it has a purpose, but it's not the end-all be-all of someone's existence. Young people will often think that when they get a job, especially you hear that phrase, their dream job, then they'll finally be content. Then they'll finally be happy. But at the end of the day, a job is just a job. You see, jobs are important. Jobs are the way that we provide for ourselves and our family. Jobs can give us a sense of purpose and meaning in the world. But at the end of the day, a job is just a job. There is no dream job. There is simply a job that we do, a calling that we have. That what will make us feel at peace and content is not anything that we gain, but believe it or not, it's about recognizing what we already have. You see, the scripture reading says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, the scripture reading is trying to teach us to be grateful for what we have. The author Flannery O'Connor once wrote, "I have never met a grateful person who was an unhappy person. I also have never met a grateful person who was a bad person." See, a grateful person is not an unhappy person, because people who are unhappy are always thinking about what they don't have instead of what they have. They're angry and they're bitter about the ways that they have not achieved what maybe others have. And he also goes on to say that a grateful person is not a bad person. More specifically, when we act out, when we sin, when we hurt others, or when we do things to hurt ourselves, it's often try to gain more and more of something that we don't have. You see, the key to this scripture reading is to be grateful. And if we take it seriously, being grateful is this: pursuing what we already have. I'll say it again because it's important. Being grateful is about pursuing what we already have. I mentioned before that our culture wants us to focus on what we could have and not already have. But that leads us to envy. What leads us to gratitude is by pursuing what we already have. Now, how can you pursue what you already have? Well, the truth of the matter is God has placed people and things and opportunities around us that we already have. You see, many of us already have a job. It may not be our dream job. It may not be the job that we thought we would have when we were kids, but it is a job. It is our purpose. And perhaps someday we'll get more money, or perhaps someday we'll move to a different job. But in the meantime, we can pursue our job with faith and courage and dignity. God has also placed people around us. God has placed family and friends And yes, even people in need. And so God wants us to commit our lives to them, to spend more energy and more attention focusing not on who is not around us, but on who is around us, on the people that God has given us. And most importantly, the greatest gift that we have is the love of Jesus Christ. We should do what we are doing now, where we worship him, we give thanks for him, we give praise for him, for the ways that he loves us, for the ways that he died for us, for the ways that he rose again for us, so that we could live and have eternal life. And eternal life is not just about what happens in heaven, but eternal life is what happens now. The scripture reading ends by saying, take hold of the life that really is life. Pursue the life that God has given you. Pursue the life that God has given you in Jesus Christ, which fills you with the Holy Spirit and sends you out into the world to do his work. Because at the end of the day, the greatest gift that we could already have is secure for us. That God has written our names in heaven, and that because of that, we can be grateful for no matter what comes our way. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be people who are grateful. Help us not be people of envy, but help us pursue what we already have. Help us give ourselves and our lives and our hearts and our minds to the people and opportunities you have placed before us. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.